The old soldiers say you never hear the bullet that kills you. They say that as if there's some sort of comfort in those words. The Johnny Reb who'd been hunting me down for nearly an hour was going to shoot me from behind, and I wouldn't hear it. But that wasn't very comforting. I was as flat on my belly as I could be, but kept pressing my body down, trying to melt myself right into the ground. He'd slowed down. He knew I'd stopped, and he was doing what any good hunter would, being careful. But he didn't have to be. I'd lost my weapon right after he shot me in my side, and at the same time, lost my urge to fight. More than anything, I wanted to go home. I wanted to see my mother and father, and yes, even my brother and sister again. If only one more time. There was so much I needed to set straight with them. So many words I'd meant to say, but hadn't. I'd tell my father one of the reasons I'd left Canada and sneaked south to fight for the Union Army of the United States of America was because of how his father had been beaten to death by a slave owner. I hoped he'd be proud that his first son had died so that others would live free. I'd tell Mother how much she meant to me. I'd tell her how the main reason I'd come south to fight was that after I helped win the war for the Union, I'd work on solving the mystery of her mother and father. Even though she hadn't seen or heard anything of them since she'd escaped slavery 1,000,000 years ago, my dream has always been to find them for her. It would cause me a real gut ache. But I'd even apologize to my brother and sister, Stubby and Patience. It's probably not their fault, but I find it irksome when mother and father and so many other people in Buxton get this surprised look of amazement whenever Pay and Stubby show off something they've made. Who cares that everyone says they're geniuses when it comes to working with wood? I know mother and father go out of their way to praise anything I do, but I've never seen that genuine look of amazement directed at me. I've never heard anyone take a sharp gasp of surprise about anything I've done. I've never seen people exchange quick glances of disbelief over anything I've written or said. Mother told me with time I'd find my calling, that my siblings were unusual because they'd discovered theirs so early. But now, it was too late for me. The Johnny Reb let out a long, low whistle, probably calling more of the Confederate murderers to come help him find me. I knew what a horrible choice I'd made just 6 weeks ago. If only I could go back. Oh, why? Why hadn't I listened when the boss of the Toronto Globe offered me the job of being the paper's #1 reporter and headline writer, even though I'm only 13 years old? If only I could take back my foolish, hasty words when I told him, "Thank you very kindly, sir, but there's a battle being fought in the United States of America to free the slaves, and there are recruiters in Michigan who need all the help they can get. This time next week, I will be a drummer boy in Mr. Lincoln's army." Now, I wished more than anything that I'd never heard about being a drummer boy, even if it was what all the bravest boys in Buxton dreamed about doing. But this southern traitor who was hunting me down was going to spill into the soil, along with my blood, all the dreams I'd worked so hard on. It would all end here in the dirt outside of Macon, Georgia. My plans of becoming the best newspaperman in North America were over. All the headlines and leads I'd practiced writing in my head every day were for nothing. A waste of time. From the corner of my eye, I could see the rebel standing on the trail, not 20 feet from me. Neither one of us moved. Then he started moving away, looking for broken twigs or footprints, something, anything that would lead him to me. It wouldn't be easy for him. The forest has always helped me. I lay as still as death, my nose pressed so tightly to the earth that little pieces of dirt and rotting leaves rolled up my nostrils when I breathed in and rolled back when I breathed out. They tickled me, but laughing was the farthest thing from my mind. I waited forever and ever. Then I let myself believe the impossible. He was gone. He'd missed me. All the life that had been draining out of me started flowing back. I trembled from the soles of my feet to the crown of my head. To be safe, I slowly counted to 100. Just to be sure, I did it a second time, then a third. I raised my head.